I wish Oakley would get in the condom game.
Online at thehomeofpussyfoot.com, Matt Dillmore along with
Matt Alsberg.
Maddie, welcome to the July Spectacular, our summertime mix. It's something that we look forward to each and every year because, as we all know, August is
the, I guess it's the fourth, no, it's the beginning of the fifth year,
right?
End of year number four of Pussyfoot.
It's going to be one hell of a show, but I don't want to shortchange this show because there's a lot of great music. July's great because we get a chance to look back over the past calendar year of some of the more memorable segments from our correspondents. And Maddie, I want you to tell me a little bit about when we're going to dig back and go to March 2012 first with Blake at the movies. What did Blake review, and why is the segment memorable?
We build this as Blake's cinematic nightmare. I think as our listeners can tell from listening to, you know, the 48 episodes of the show so far, Blake, not a fan of two big things. Foreign cuisine and just chopsocky movies in general. So we took him to see a film called Jiro Dreams of Sushi, a documentary. And he, as we expected, was not too pleased by it.
We then are going to hop skip back in time, November 2011, Misty Mayhem. This was in many ways her coming out party because we had in the month of October, whether we knew it or not, it was actually our former Obit correspondent's last performance. We're of course talking about Miss Shelley. So Misty, her first time up at bat.
It was definitely a walk-off homer. And I think that, you know, for somebody who had never met Shelley, she really captured her, I think, incredibly well. I mean, just sort of with the bits and bobs that we gave her of Shelley's personality, sort of backstory, I think she put together quite an Obit.
I would agree. And last but certainly not least, our sage, Eddie Rouse. We find him in October 2011. We know that October is Blake's month because it's filled with horror, scares.
The macabre.
Exactly. He loves the Halloween month of October. But Eddie, when faced with very scary scenarios from Writers Inn, really delivered. First question, fans will know, bitch building.
Yes.
It's the bitch building segment. Again, that has to deal with some hazing, some unfortunate hazing. Maddie, I've got a track queued up to kick off the mix. It's The Gods, with a Z, plural, but with a Z, from their record Contact High. This is Lay in the Sun. Next.
Yes, I am coming with a track from a band called Human Sexual Response. And when I think Human Sexual Response, I think buttfuck.
So please, just sit back, enjoy the summertime sounds. It's the July summertime mix here on Pussyfoot.
you busters. Bitch made niggas in the game getting cross when I floss with my nine. I'm in range, no more brains. You kinda like fuck with your strap tuck under your cacks on your back. You go trying to duck. Another victim, have to stick him with the dandy man. SK starts spitting, got the ripping off that candy paint. Another tragedy, so gangster, don't get mad at me because you want it funkin'. I brought it to your family. You niggas can't handle me when I'm flashing, showing chromes. Got the MI carbine cock blowing domes. The war zone, and I'm right up in the center strike. And popping in clips, try not to slip or get hit with lightning. I'm on a mission, can't be slipping when I'm dishing shells. Cause if I do, I might be through into my soul bill. So many soldiers fake, so they breaking their body shake. The yellow tape is all it take to know we ain't awake. Another nigga surface down on the curve when the max bit is back splitting, paralyzes nerves. That's how it is, skulls crack, leaving niggas dead. All you sis are dead, GRIP, hella brains and bloodshed. It's going down, so pack your hollow tips and extra clips. Cause when it's on, it's do or die if you wanna slip. Round two, straps capping amidst the violence. Niggas be slipping, chests be ripping, left eternal silence. Niggas be swearing at they hardcore, reaching for they 44s and getting they backs pent up on they cardo. I'm creeping up from behind with a black tech. His arm flew to the left when they blew his spine through his chest. Another mind died, blindside, young killing. It ain't no feeling, side off and smoke him up like villains. My strap is killing any nigga that think he willing, or he made the decision, or had a feeling for no longer living. That's how I think, put you on your back before you blink. Fuck the enemy, pop the Hennessy and take a drink. And now I'm gone in the zone, feeling half dead. Riot pump up out the window, leaving bodies half red. Point blank range, strap sang, calling for your brains. Niggas get banged, then they heartbeat start to change. Pleading for help, but your Marquez homies already broke. Banging ain't no joke, left you stranded at the end of the road. It ain't no hope for you Marquez niggas with no stripes. Buses ain't no factor, you just another took. Lie slipping is a way of mark, so they pistol whooped in the dork. Lock them in the trunk for the board. Slap the old school out of port. That's how it is when it's on. Catch these on rap peace. Stay out my path, I'll be blasted by this Highlands G.
Hooray for Hollywood. That's groovy, Bollywood, Hollywood. Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan. Where any barmaid can be a star mate if she dances with or without a tan. Hooray for Hollywood, when you're terrific if you're even good. Where everyone at all from TV Flassy to Monroe Stassi is equally understood. Go out and try your luck, you might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood!
Hooray for Hollywood, even though the Academy Awards are in our rearview mirrors. Matt Dillmore, Matt Alsberg, Blake Everett. It's Blake at the movies. Blake.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Welcome to you, too.
I don't mean to step on your line there, but what's up post-Oscars? Are you happy with the way things worked out, or are you still kind of
Come
a little...
On,
are you little fucking teed off?
Let it go.
Leo...
Didn't
sneak in there.
You know what? Oscars this year, to me, were just a lot of bullshit.
Okay.
It was a lot of crap.
Don't mix
It was
words.
A lot of political... I mean, well, we are in a political year.
We are.
So, I mean, it's full of bullshit, so why shouldn't the Oscars? They're just setting the form for what's coming next.
Okay. Oh. Alrighty. This month's film, it's in theaters now. It's a documentary. Take us through it. What's it called, and how does it hit you?
All right, the title of the film is Yero's Dreams of My Sushi.
All right, I gotta stop both of you guys. You're giving it some like weird Latin pronunciation. He's Japanese. It's Jiro.
Okay. All right. Yero, Jiro, Gyro, you know, tomato, tomato, I don't
care. It's not a Greek sandwich.
It's not a Greek sandwich.
But is
now, that's Gyro.
Now,
anyway.
Is it the kind of film that you would normally go to? And I say this because...
All right, we have seen documentaries for Pussy Fuck.
I've seen it, but this one's different. Why? we build this as your personal kind of
horrific
filmic nightmare.
Yes,
Blake.
You did.
Why though?
Well, because it's about something I would never even eat. It's about sushi, and you wouldn't see me. And I'm not going to sit there and watch animals get killed, especially octopuses. I used to have a pet octopus.
Yeah.
What was his name?
His name was Ray. after Ray Harryhausen and his film It Came From Beneath the Sea. Are you making fun of my octopus?
No, not at all.
Let's just, real quick, let's just tell the story of Ray, where every once in a while when you would be out at work and then come back home from, say, you know, a night on the town or, you know, working, whatever.
A trip out as Dr. Goulstein?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd take a peek, boom. Ray's not in his aquarium. Where would he be?
Oh, he'd be behind the dresser or behind the bed.
An infant octopus.
Crawling around.
A lot of people don't realize octopi can get up out of their
tanks. Yeah.
And will wedge themselves certain places.
Yeah, they do. They really do. They can, I mean, they can flatten themselves to almost a pancake to get it out and to do whatever they got to do.
And you can't really flush an octopus down the toilet when
no.
it dies. Right?
No.
No, you can't. And God, who would want to?
Yeah, man.
Because they're delicious.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, but I'm not into calamari.
So you've got an aversion to sushi. Talk to me, just why is it? Because I feel like it's raw fish and it comes from the ocean and
well, after we watched this film, we learned that it's more than just raw fish. I mean, there's rice and there's the egg,
shishito pepper,
and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just all about sushi.
It's a texture thing?
For me?
Yeah.
He's breaking out in a sweat just talking about it right
now. Yeah. I mean, it's gross. I mean, who can eat that? I mean,
all right.
I can barely eat fish sticks.
Okay. So despite your complete distrust of sushi chefs and sushi itself, you, of course, went in, gave this a fair shake.
I did. As for the topic about sushi, I'm going to give it a zero. I have zero interest in it. I would never, ever in a million years ever go to a theater to pay money to watch about something I have zero feelings for, except disgust.
You've
I think
negative it's, feelings about it.
Yes. Yeah, I have very negative feelings. But now let's talk about the film itself. You know, its style of filming, the direction, the storyline, if there is, can be a storyline in a documentary.
About the man himself?
And even about the man himself. All right, you want me to give it now?
Sure.
All right, here it is.
Tip your hand.
Three. I'm only giving it three pussyfoot. All right, and this is my reason why. And
yes, please justify that score.
Well, we went and saw Bill Cunningham. Remember Bill Cunningham's documentary?
I do.
I mean, I gave that a really high pussyfoot review, and I loved it. I thought it was ignored at the Oscars, another issue I have.
With the Academy?
Yes, I did. This film held your interest. It introduced such a wide variety of characters and stories, and we got a real insight into this man's life, which was very fascinating. This movie had nothing to offer in that aspect. There was nothing interesting about it. I mean, this could have been done on a half-hour Food Network channel as a little sushi tale. And you didn't need...
Guy Fieri?
Yeah.
Just cruising up to their restaurant?
All I saw was a bunch of old Japanese men saying, oh, you're the best. And you know, well, that's so wonderful. He's the best tuna cutter. He's the best sushi maker. He's the best egg cracker. I mean, who the... Elk is a shit for an hour and a half.
He's so fucking good, but he can't even cook that shit.
I know. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I am going to reveal something I cannot believe I'm going to reveal about myself.
Okay. Alrighty.
Anthony had to wake me up three times in the movie.
Matt and I were talking about that. We were wondering, did you swoon from fright?
Yeah, I mean,
because
really.
We noticed that a bunch of times when they were doing sort of sushi montages, we would look over and you would just be out. Was that swooning?
You know what? I'm going with that. That makes very much a lot of sense. I think I passed out.
See, I thought rapture. I thought we had reintroduced you to a whole new palette of food and you were just overcome with emotion and were honestly waiting to charge out of that theater and head right to
Burger King. Oh. Thank you.
Now, Blake, let me just touch a couple of questions that I had. One, talk a little bit about the family dynamic between, say, father and son. Is there a story there that perhaps went unexplored?
There is there's two sons. There's a much older one, and then there's a younger one. And this man is 82 years old, the father, the one who owns the sushi plant that's in Japan. And he's won all these awards, apparently, for his sushi. It's cost 30,000 yen to eat his sushi, and you have to have reservations. Yet at the whole time when we were watching this, I never saw the place sold out or filled up. So I don't understand why if somebody just wanted to walk in and have sushi, you would turn them away because they didn't have a reservation. That kind of struck me funny. Anyhow, but 30,000 yen in Yushi, I mean, I don't know what that is in American dollars.
Actually, I did the math. It's 360 American dollars.
All right, so $360
just
for a little piece of raw fish on a cracker,
well,
whatever, with about two or three pieces of rice on it. I mean, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I mean, that's just...
A cracker and some rice.
Now, conversely, you're going to hard times.
Oh, yeah.
What are you getting for your dollar?
Oh, my God. First of all, you're getting a big plate of noodles. And
I mean,
on those noodles,
stop.
You got that... Oh, my God, that meaty, spicy, Cincinnati chili. And all on top of it, all this wonderful shredded cheddar cheese. Oh my
it,
God,
slow
it
down.
Melts in your mouth.
You going onion with it? You got onion?
I don't go onions.
No.
I don't go onions.
Some people do.
But you can get onions, and you can also get the beans. Not for me. I get the three-way. The three-way is noodles.
Yeah, you do.
Chili and the cheese.
I'm
talking about chili, Matt Allsberg.
Now, this takes me to the second phase of my question. You had said that you thought maybe this could be covered in a Food Network kind of documentary.
Yeah.
But I think they went out of their way to kind of show the process and talk about how he tries to create each meal in the same way that a conductor might conduct an orchestra.
Now, Anthony and I are still completely
in shock.
You know, we didn't even know what to make of it.
Okay.
But I didn't know. Were they doing some kind of, like, voodoo hexes or releases on the fish when they... they come in there and start beating drums and jingle things. And they're doing this crazy dances and singing. It's a dead gutted fish. I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah, that's something that I think Matt and I discussed as well.
Yeah.
The only thing you can chalk that up to is voodoo.
Yeah, that's what I came up with.
It was clearly like... I
cleaning out the evil spirits of the fish.
It was like the cremation of care ceremony, in a way. Now, Blake, would you try sushi?
Never.
You wouldn't?
Never.
Wow.
Now, Blake, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
First, how many of this cast look alike?
All.
Thank you. Now, my second...
Wait, what was his answer?
All.
Oh.
Now, my second question is... So, we've gone to a bunch of documentaries.
Yeah, we have.
We saw Bill Cunningham. We saw this. I can't even think of any other ones because we didn't name them in this review. But aren't you tired of hearing the same goddamn music in every single documentary? It seems like these guys don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, they just raid the public domain pile. And seriously, if I hear that cello like... No.
It was...
One more goddamn documentary.
I agree with you on that. And especially coming from a Japanese kind of aspect, I would have expected they would have played more traditional Japanese type music.
A little shakuhachi.
Yeah, anything that would have given it the more flavor of the Japanese tone.
Right.
Since this all was filmed apparently in Japan.
I mean, supposedly.
Yeah. Supposedly.
I definitely, a couple of those things look like soundstage things to me.
A couple of the stuff looked like a soundstage. Some of the stuff looked like it straight up could have been like Little Tokyo here in LA. Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Seriously, that's what I was thinking. I wasn't sure this actually was taking place in Japan.
Some of those shots could have been London.
It could have been London. It could have been like Eyes Wide Shut. Were you supposed to... Are we in New York or where are we?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, my final question to you, Blake, is there a food preparer, a chef, anybody from... You know, because I know you do... have a limited palate, but you do like the food that you like.
Oh, yes.
Is there somebody out there that you would like to see profiled in a documentary that maybe hasn't been given the shine that he or she deserves?
Probably the creator of Hard Times Cincinnati Chili.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That person, I think,
saw that coming
Like Mr. Hard Times?
Mr. Hard Times.
Do you know his name? Like, is there like a
Red Rock? I
Jeff
really don't.
Hard Times.
Well, you can go to their website. I believe they have a website you can go to.
Is it just hardtimeschili.com?
I don't know.
Yeah, but all right, that. So that's good. So maybe the Hard Times doc is in the work. Is in the works.
Budget together.
Yeah, let's get ready. We're gonna toss to a song, but again, let's recap one final time. Jiro, or what is it, Matt?
Jiro.
Jiro.
Dreams of My Sushi. Pussyfoot Review. A 3.
Worse than Hunger Games.
Wow. Bordering on Hood Rats 2, Hood Rat Warrior territory.
Yep.
So, alrighty, Blake. Well, thank you so much. You're, of course, going to stick around for DJ, a.k.a.
Oh, absolutely. Doug Jones.
Doug Jones. Who?
Who?
Doug Jones.
All right. That's great. And I'm gonna prepare for Doug with a little John Turbo or Turbal. We don't know, because shortly after this CD was made, this album was put together, the man was institutionalized, and I believe he's passed away. So this is from 1979. This is Information Overdose from the very great long-lost album Alien City. John Turbo, a.k.a. John Turbal, right here on Pussyfoot.
All righty.
I want love. say to you, I say to you, keep me up. I say to you, keep me up.
Satisfied.
You keep me up. Satisfied.
Yeah.
I'd like to share with you about a woman who is still very much alive, though sadly, she has effectively become dead to her listening loyal audience. It is with great regret that we report that one Miss Rochelle Fineman, the fiery so-called First Lady of Pussyfoot, has transitioned to the next professional realm. Known as Miss Shelley, Fineman's monthly Shelley Obit segments were humorous and insightful staple of Pussyfoot broadcasts from August 2008 to October 2011. She is survived by other irascible residents of Palm Terrace, Ed, Stephen Witkin, veteran landlord Michael Losmandy, and Matt, number one, the gay non-Pussyfoot Matt. While Miss Shelley gained internet radio fame for her on-air eulogies, the multifaceted Fineman was much, much more than simply a FMC of all things macabre. Rochelle Fineman was born in the small Ohio town of Massillon, a high school football-obsessed town that boasts film star Lillian Gish, coaches Bobby Knight and Paul Brown, and soap star David Canary among its notable natives. In her late teens, Fineman enrolled at Ohio University, an institution of higher learning in Athens, Ohio. Though she dropped out without obtaining a formal degree of any kind, when pushed about her early exit from the notorious party school, Fineman often joked about having, quote, too many beef supremes at the burrito buggy, a reference to the popular hippie-friendly Mexican food caravan located on OU's campus. Making her way west, the free-spirited Midwesterner found sanctuary in Los Angeles. With the countercultural movement at its peak, Feynman was quick to embrace California's New Age spiritualism, relying on crystal healing for much of her subsequent life. This incredible spiritual, non-denominational woman would often display gemstones, good luck symbols, and various totems around her home and here in the Pussyfoot studio. Shelley also became a familiar face at SoCal biker gatherings, be it a beer bash in the woods or a good old-fashioned canyon car. Shelley endeared herself to a mini leather-clad bad boy. This outlaw ethos galvanized Shelley, who saw her street cred grow by leaps and bounds. For example, Feynman considered a point of personal pride that she never snitched to the police about the whereabouts of a somewhat shady neighbor who operated under the street handle Tico. She also continued to hang Christmas lights outside the apartment of a confirmed exotic pet trafficker known only as Gil, even going so far as to dub the man's personal pet a California king snake with the regal nickname Lady Cromwell. In addition to her streetwise 60s pursuits, Feynman began to secure a foothold in the square world, honing her acting skills via years of high-level theatrical training. These rigorous procedurals equipped Feynman with the knack for intense preparation, impeccable timing, and a pitch-perfect enunciation she consistently displayed on Pussyfoot, a forum for her to eulogize the likes of Russian gangsters, four-legged mascots, professional star wranglers, and theme park impresarios. This focus also served her quite well in her career in the tax field. Feynman's tax consulting business found her slashing through a constant thicket of financial records, making frequent runs to Canyon Country, and juggling an increased workload between the months of January and April. Affectionately referred to as her, quote,
busy time.
Friends and loved ones attest to Shelley's truly selfless nature. An environmentalist, Shelley could frequently be seen combing the trash bins and recycling containers of a beloved Beechwood neighborhood, fishing half-full water bottles and Mountain Dew cans out of the garbage, only to dump out the container contents and then neatly replace them in the very same dumpster. Why did this woman carry out this bizarre ritual? The answer was simpler than anyone might think: to make life easier for waste management officials. Similarly, Shelley erected a lush garden at Palm Terrace for all, including her goth clairvoyant neighbor Vox, to enjoy. Replete with a wide array of exotic succulents, the garden also featured a short-lived fountain and many sculptural treasures procured from the chic Hollywood ceramic boutique Osh. Also located on the grounds, her incredibly organized garage served as both a carport for her fleet of vintage automobiles and showcase for her lifelike piñata from Pussyfoot's first anniversary show. She did not, however, house her collection of haute couture birthday dresses in said garage, preferring to instead to stash them in her closet. But Shelley perhaps took the most pleasure in attending culture events in and around Los Angeles, from performances at the Pasadena Playhouse to AMPA's screening of Oscar contenders, to show-stopping musical jamborees at the Hollywood Bowl. More often than not, the cigarette-smoking front row fixture was none other than Rochelle Feynman. And so, we bid adieu to you, Miss Shelley. While you are no longer a part of the Pussyfoot fold, Matt, Blake, and Eddie wish you nothing but the best on your eternal voyage aboard the Long Beach gondola in the sky. Up next, Nina Hagen, with Superboy, right here on Pussyfoot.
Thank you. kids like advice.
Wow. I he's back in the fold, Matt. He's back.
The Kungos warn you.
Eddie Rouse. Eddie Sage Like Advice. Eddie, welcome back. Thanks for coming through.
I went nowhere.
What's the deal? You took some time off. How did you spend that time off? We've gotten a lot of emails and texts and
inquisitive.
Whatnot. Yeah, just listeners want to know how does Eddie spend his downtime, because you were off during the month
in
of September.
In a fucking coffin.
Whoa.
Away from the sun and whoa. White people.
Oh, I mean, that's...
That is the same thing.
Yeah, it kind of
exactly.
is. And I think it's fitting that this is the month of October, Halloween. You spent your time in a coffin. Nice, like a little Nosferatu action.
Yeah, I can't stand listening to the lies anymore.
Let's hop into these questions. Maddie, is it okay?
Anything you do is okay with me.
Being a former high school superstar athlete.
Yes.
I feel like it's my duty to read this first question.
I feel like you'll bring something to it. I couldn't.
Yeah, but before I hit that, just loosely, what's the theme?
All right, Eddie. This month, as you know, it is the scariest time of the year.
Yeah.
These are questions that deal with fear.
Yeah.
And reasons that people are afraid of things.
Horrifying situations.
Gory, graphic situations.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
CNN shit.
Not necessarily chill up my spine fear, but
right.
like.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of what I might do.
Terrorism live fear.
Potentially. The first question, dear Eddie, father to father, I'm a big fan of the show. I know you're not a sports fan, but I'm sure that you are aware that we are in the midst of football season.
Fuck football and them fags.
This brings me to my question. Mm-hmm. My son, Michael, attends a local prep school in Redacted.
Mm-hmm. Prep. School.
He's entering the ninth grade, which of course makes him eligible for varsity sports. Right now, he's a little raw and obviously still growing, but he's going to fill out like his father. You see, I was a star at the very same prep school that he's currently attending. I went on to become a 3-year letterman at Redacted State University in the late 80s. Eddie, I'm not just saying this because I'm the boy's father. I know sports. Michael has the chance to perhaps even surpass my athletic achievements. He's going to be that good. Now, I've been around locker rooms all my life. I know how they operate and how young, immature athletes conduct themselves. Truth be told, when I was in high school and in college, I acted like a real jerk to the media and many fans and coaches. People couldn't tell me nothing. And it wasn't until I got my butt handed to me in the pros that I realized it was just as important for me to be a good person on the field and off. My wife and I have raised Michael with this in mind. He's a very down-to-earth, soft-spoken young man. His nature, coupled with memories of how I conducted myself when I was his age, I feel have led to an unfortunate situation. You see, Eddie, several of the upperclassmen on his team made Michael drink their piss in a hazing ritual. He didn't drink a lot, but come on, Sage, foul is foul. I don't know the particulars, how much, whose piss it was. None of that matters to me. What matters is that my son was subjected to a public humiliation under the guise of team building. Now, I'm furious with the school, the coaching staff, the players responsible, but yet I've done nothing publicly. Why? Well, I don't want to go off without thinking this fully through. Michael has not been the same on the field, averaging just 2.3 yards per rush since this horrifying preseason incident. Eddie, how do I get retribution for my son without falling into my old habits with the local media and coaches? I don't want to reprise my role of football villain, but maybe I need to get over my own hang-ups for the sake of my child. Thank you, Deshaun.
Well, you answer your own question. Fuck all that. You know, if somebody made my child drink pee, this would be hell to pay. All right, and you, like I said, fuck them faggots in football. I know you were a football player. I'm not suggesting that you were a faggot. It's just a figure speech. That I use because it's bullshit. You know, if I were you, I'm going to be straight up honest. I would sue the goddamn school. All right, I would go after him hand over fist.
I don't know why Matt's laughing.
Call,
that's real.
It would come. I just knew it would. I knew it would be illegal.
I would be on the phone with the news media. I would press charges. Because that's poisonous. And all this hazing bullshit, you know, that ain't cool. I mean, hazing, I understand, you know, breaking people in and ritual. That's beyond ritual. That's downright fucking disgusting. You know, somebody need to take whoever did and string them up by their fucking nuts.
Who knows what high school kids are
well,
drinking?
Well, but you know what it is?
I don't care. You don't do that. That's a lawsuit. Dude, if you don't get a lawsuit, you a bitch.
This isn't some yogi just drinking water 24 hours a day and drinking his own urine. I mean,
they crossed the line, man. They could have potentially. Okay, let's look at it this way. Suppose in that pee, there's
AIDS.
Well, yeah, but I doubt if you get it that way. But
steroids. Oh, E. coli.
No, what do they call that? The liver malfunction?
Oh, hepatitis.
Hepatitis C. Hepatitis B. I suppose there's gonorrhea. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
No, because these jocks are fucking anything.
No, I'm just saying, dude.
Don't pay people
this,
like
you
that,
should
Matt.
Not. You should not let this rest. You should make the biggest stink. This will go national. And who gives a fuck what anybody thinks? Well, that's your child.
Let me say this, just to kind of bring it back to the guy's core question. Obviously, he's got issues that he didn't conduct himself the right way when he was, say, 15, 16, 17. And he doesn't want to fall into that, as he says, the role of football villain. You think, Eddie, you put your own shit aside, and you know what? My son drank piss.
This ain't football.
And you
got to
go as hard as you can.
This is not villainy. This is what's right versus what's wrong. It's a sign of the debauchery of our society, the lack of respect of other people's humanity, under the guise of what? That ain't team building. That's bitch building. So, you know, I'm telling you, I would pick up the goddamn phone today. I would call CNN. You know, you call that big hair bitch Nancy Grace. She'll get some shit going for you.
Game over.
This the first time I will endorse that whole bitch.
Let me ask you,
whole bitch.
Ask you this, and I just want to, you know, because I wasn't subjected to hazing because people knew I was cool and I was.
You
the
were
star.
Probably like on the inside.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm the star of the team, and you know,
you're an athlete.
Yeah, so I'm just, you know what I mean. So like, if anything, I'm coming up with the pranks. I'm breaking the kids in.
that's a little much.
Pause.
It might not have actually been piss. Maybe they fucked with the kid. And
like some apple juice, some Martinelli's.
Right. If it turns out that he goes to the media and they come back and they go, dude, it wasn't
well,
piss.
Well, then that's not the point. The point is to send a message that you cannot do that.
Okay.
And if it was a prank, then you should just call it a thing of letting somebody know after the fact. You don't lead the person on because you could potentially poison this person. You could potentially give him diseases.
Hepatitis.
And the bottom line is, this needs to be exposed. And I'm telling you, dude, Nancy Grace will have a field day with some shit
like
this.
But you're saying go to the media right away. Don't even go to the school.
Don't even wait. Fuck the school. Sue them motherfuckers if you can.
And would you say that hazing is almost sort of the other side of the coin of bullying?
Hazing.
And bullying right now.
Oh, it's hot. It's real hot right now.
Hazing is a bitch move.
Yeah.
I was an athlete. I was a gymnast, but we didn't get into that hazing horse shit.
No.
Really? No. I would have thought gymnasts would have been like...
No, we don't. We got class, man. No.
Maddie, let's hit him with that second question. I think that was good. Thanks.
She's
thank you,
thorough,
Sage.
Man.
Thank you.
Here we go. Hello, Eddie. Mama Hen here. Please, please, please fit this in for your Halloween show. A haunted house has opened up in the neighborhood, and it is truly frightening. I took my 9-year-old
crack house.
I took my old 9-year-old son a few weeks ago when it first opened. At a couple points, he seemed to want to leave, but like a trooper, he stuck it out. I should have turned around the first couple times he indicated how scared he was, but I didn't, and now I'm really paying for it. I don't know if you are aware of this, Eddie, but these haunted houses are putting cameras in the different areas now to capture the looks on people's faces as they travel through. Basically, surveillance coverage. Part of me thinks it's for security and insurance claim situations, but obviously there's another agenda. The folks who run the haunted house are now using a picture of my son looking scared and feeble on their website and in their local print ads. What neither of us knew at the time was that my son had tears in his eyes, genuine tears. Of course, they pulled this moment from their camera feed and are running with it. This has led to my son being teased mercilessly in school, so much so that I had to pick him up early twice this week. When I contacted the company that was running the haunted house, they informed me that they obtained the footage legally and that I had no leg to stand on. I signed a release before I entered the attraction, so I guess they got me on that one. What they offered to do, though, was crop my son's face out of the screen grab and zoom in on his teary eyes. They're arguing that no one will be able to know that those eyes belong to my child. Their revamped ad will look like a close-up in a horror movie. Obviously, that was unsatisfactory to me because all the kids at a school had already seen the picture. You can't fool kids these days. I stormed out of that meeting, and as a result, they're still using the full body shot of my child. I can't afford legal action, and like I said, the law may be on their side anyway. So that's why I write you. I'm completely lost, and I'm afraid my child will not get a reprieve from his classmates anytime soon. Happy Halloween indeed. Mama Hen.
Just cut to the chase.
Thank you.
Take it to the goddamn Legal Aid Society. The second thing is this. Your son got embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
He'll live through it.
That's it?
Yeah, what else? What am I supposed to tell her?
I mean, put yourself in her shoes, Eddie. That's heartless.
I've been in her shoes.
She's saying she's obviously hard up for some cash, or else she'd get some legal counsel.
If she has a leg to stand on, finding a lawyer is not going to be a problem. Trust me, because they get a finder's fee on a case like this.
No. I understand that. I'm saying to deal with this through therapy with her son, because he's scarred.
Oh, will you stop this bull?
I mean, Eddie, she had to pick him up from school twice.
Wait a minute. Let's understand this about kids, first of all.
Okay.
They are ruthless. I don't forget being in that kind of position in school. We all get a chance at the trough of being fucked with in school. That's a rite of passage to children. If your son develops some kind of bullshit, psycho bullshit, then fine, he'll take care of it. But usually these things play themselves out because children by nature are vicious.
True.
I don't know anyone in my life who doesn't have a horror story when they were growing up.
High school, elementary school.
I mean, a school is basically a haunted house.
I mean, it don't matter.
That's a good point, Matt.
You're right. I mean, come on. Your son will get over it. He'll grow out of it. Who gives a fuck? Give me some questions that got teeth.
Well, I'll say this, Eddie. I wouldn't put myself in that situation. We all have weak moments.
Exactly.
And if it's captured on film and that becomes public
consumption
spectacle,
yeah,
it can be damaging. What if they would have done this to you, honestly?
I deserve it.
Oh,
really?
You got, if I sign a paper, a contract,
beyond the contract, me, just no, beyond the contract, no, just the, in terms
no,
of the,
there is no beyond the contract. Because if that was the case, they would have to, one, she could sue them because it's illegal, all right, to film someone and to put it in the public domain without their consent.
Okay.
You cannot do that by law. So no.
Do you think their solution with the cropping of the eyes, do you think that was a legit solution? She should have taken it?
I think that was a beautiful gesture, but the damage has been done.
Oh.
And the fact of the matter, it ain't all that.
And let me ask you a question, Eddie. If you were one of the kids in the school, once you saw that cropped picture, would you go harder at this kid?
I don't know.
You'd be like, oh, what, your mommy made him change the picture?
No, it's too late.
I know I would. I'd be like, listen.
100%.
What, the company's just randomly going to change it?
Yeah.
It's like, obviously your mom went in there and bitched.
It doesn't matter. You made a mistake. Learn from it. You took your kid, and you didn't know they were going to use your kid as an example. Oh, well.
Let me ask you, Eddie, what's the scariest thing that you experienced with your kids? That you had to, walk them through and be like, oh. Like, was there a Halloween moment or a horror movie that you had to be like?
No, my kids ain't a bunch of bitches. All right. I'm sorry. My kids are some rough motherfuckers who, if they got embarrassed, did one or two things. Took it on the chin or beat somebody's ass.
I got to say, Matt, as anxious as I was to get back in with Eddie and to have him go through the questions, I'm equally excited about a new positive thrust.
We missed it last month.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't choose a positive thrust to include in our best of. So, Eddie, the floor is yours. Positive thrust for October 2011.
Russia. One of the greatest social experiments that seemed to be, totally unbreakable. Yet, without warning, from within, it snapped. Now, guess who's fucking next? They're snapped because their thinking was fucked. They went the other way. At first it was nice, and then they went too far. Now, you better look around you, America. You better really think hard about your thinking and your mentality, because as Malcolm X said, the chickens are coming home to roost. Floods, droughts, earthquakes, tornadoes of unprecedented magnitude.
Stop causing them.
We are causing all this. There is no other way for the universe to get our attention, because we are the greatest country on earth. There is no one on the planet that we are threatened by other than China, but we won't fuck with them because they'll whip our asses. They've been whipping our ass since 1947. Get over it. All right? If we don't change our thinking as people, our consciousness, we are going to be shaken off the face of the earth like fleas on a dog.
Ooh.
Do you realize everything that we advertise has to do with war, destruction, death? I'm going to share that. I didn't share this. Let me put it this way. I'll stay out. I won't give out any names, but I was in a situation not too long ago with a 9-year-old child. And I was looking at his game.
It was not Mama Hen's child.
I was looking at the game he was playing. it was Call to Duty. And I'm like, dude, you know that ain't cool, right? What do you mean it's not cool? I said, that's killing, man. And if one, you're 9 fucking years old.
I'm calling the airstrike right now.
So he says to me, I said, do you realize that's murder? Unjustified murder? And he says to me, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 you got to understand something. If America says it's okay to kill.
Oh, that's knowledge.
And his mother was standing there, and I looked at her like, okay, I can't engage a 9-year-old. It ain't cool, but it took everything in my power not to, you know, go after this, give this kid a serious...
All your 10 commandments.
You know? And his mother standing there, I said, well... I looked at her, I said, you know, to be honest, I'm going to be honest with you. You ain't got no business. What are you doing? You're teaching your son to buy in to where he's being bred.
Almost snitching.
To give his life up. Now they call the United States military. Have you seen a commercial about the Army? It's a badge.
Oh yeah, the Go it's Army courage. Shit?
No,
yeah.
I'm talking about the way they shoot the uniform. Yeah. This is a badge. This is honor. This
like you're Marshall Dillon or something.
That is the biggest crock of shit facing our planet today. And that's what I'm talking about.
Now, Maddie.
Yes, sir.
A truly scary, frightening, horrifying positive thrust on the way out from Mr. Rouse. I want to thank you. What do you got queued up?
Well, since this is the evil playlist, this is not something that I consider evil.
Yeah.
But plenty of people
but
do.
You are evil.
This is Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew with the track Abortion.
Oh,
let it roll.
God.
Mr. Rouse,
no,
thank you.
You didn't.
Thank you so much.
Abortion. 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 Record is called Abortion, Mind Distortion. The world more rooms is out of proportion. And I want it played in every Walkman. Abortion, abortion. Stop, 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 stop. Girl, you must be crazy to kill a newborn baby. Sitting on your ass all day, so lazy. Say to yourself, look what this man done gave me. Yelling for help. Sin. That's something in the genes buried deep within. But to give or take life, they must pay the price. And that, brothers and sisters, it's not that nice. You were born innocent, so don't sin twice. Dougie Fresh will never give the wrong advice about abortion, non distortion. The world morals is out of proportion. And I want it played in every reward. Abortion.
There's a highway telling me to go where I came from. Such a long way, I don't even know where I am. Such a long way. Sit right to where I am, and it's easier to stay here. Think I know my way here. I'm gonna lay here all right. Tomorrow I'm gonna hang my feet in a stream. My world is real, yours a dream. And the highway, I'm gonna sit right here where I am. And it's easier to stay here, think I know my way here. I'm gonna lay here all right.
To the store, I got to go.
again, winding down another successful Pussyfoot. This time, July 2012, the Summertime Mix. Listeners, if they were following along, we did something really special with this playlist.
Yeah, we kept true to the original songs that were from these segments, so I think our listeners really were taken back, transported back to those times, those golden yesteryears of Pussyfoot, or yestermonths.
Well said. We turn the page to August 2012. Again, it's the four-year anniversary show, the start of our fifth year.
Yes.
And I do have to say, it's going to perhaps set the bar incredibly high for the year to come. So please stay tuned for our August spectacular. But as we say goodbye here for the Summertime July 2012 mixtape, I'm going to say goodbye with The Trend. The name of this track is Band-Aid. And then, Matty, you've got a very special California.
Yes, this is the legendary MC8 and the chill MC, DJ Unknown, DJ Slip, with a track called Duck Sick off of the Compton's Most Wanted debut album, It's a Compton Thang.
Is this because the foie gras band?
Yes, yes.
Duck Sick.
Yeah, those ducks are sick.
Yes, exactly. So,
it's like a psoriasis duck.
Yeah, yeah. So The Trend, Compton's Most Wanted, we will see you for the four-year anniversary show in August. Pussyfoot.
Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Every time I cut myself, there's never a band-aid in the house. That makes me bloody mad when I can't find a
shoulder. Jay, your ass is out. Hey, Rota. Another funky rap about your jealous conflict. How you diss CMW, boy, you ain't said shit. Your shit. Senses should tell you, kick it. Don't be a hero. Equip the whip. It's 8, unlike a 0. I gotta hit ya, or get with ya. Sit down, clown. I commence to paint a picture. It's kinda funny, but yet somewhat amazing. Take you serious. I think about it while I'm blazing. Only then will my reactions show how I chill and let my tempo flow. Too sorry is the name for your rap. No competition. Dissing, boy, you need to be slapped. 8 ain't no punk, so learn it quick. Oh yes, P.S. CMW, and you can get my duck sick. Duck sick. Duck sick. You can get my duck sick.
I don't believe. How the hell'd you get on wax? Making demos on your tape deck tracks. You did a show, and I heard it was whack. You tossed out records, they got tossed right back. You got the nerve trying to go down like a trooper. And better worse, you go down like King Cooper. So stop your little dissing, saying that I can handle. I put your lights out, you have to rap by a candle. Go head up, punk, or sell out. I know you must have heard the word New Jack. I'm not a buster, always down to bust a record. I party, know what I mean? But unlike yourself, sucker, I do it for green. So period, end of story, don't even bore me. The chill MC claim the glory. So that's it, the 8 and chill is the shit.
Chill, word.
And you can get the duck sick.
You can get the duck sick.